You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tonight on the Cooligans, we are talking about all the MLS transfer news. Pepe, DK, Insigne, and also LAFC has a new coach, the homie, that we propose a very interesting idea on a coaching strategy.
And it might work. You never know. Plus, we've got so much more. We've got NWSL, the first signing by the San Diego Wave Football Club, Abby Dahlkemper. She's won the World Cup. She's won so many things. And she proves that I'm right, that a smoothie can just be chocolate. That and more today on the Cooligans!
Hi, this is Ashlyn Harris.
And Allie Krieger. And you are listening to our best friends and favorite comedians,
the Cooligans, bitch.
Yeah, baby! 2022!
So much to be excited about in 2022, given that 2021 didn't let us down. You know what I mean?
You know, it really brought the heat, 2021. I was like, did y'all like drama for the last 6-7 years? Let's hype it up a little bit more.
What's up, everybody? Happy New Year. Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
That's right. I'm Alexis Guerrero. Still, hasn't changed.
Okay, I've been telling you to change it. It's a terrible name.
Bad for comedy.
We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show right here on Fubo Sports Network.
And you know, let's switch it up a little bit for 2022, because it also happens to be the gulliest. You know what? Okay. Let's not switch it up. You know what I mean?
You know what? Just like 2021, more of the same. All right.
Although we're now gully in a new variant. You feel me?
The Gullycron. Yes.
Let's go.
We're excited about today's show because our first guest of 2022 is an absolute superstar. We're going to be joined by Abby Dahlkemper, World Cup winner, and also the first San Diego Wave Football Club player. Okay.
How insane is that? We've got yet another World Cup winner on the show. This is what we bring you. We bring you superstars.
We have so many World Cup winners that they really just should give us a medal as well. Okay.
Bro, I mean, just say, let us say we won a World Cup.
We've been around it by association. We have to be in the conversation. Okay.
I think so. Is there any other show anywhere in the world that has had this many World Cup players? I'm not going to do the research. I'm just going to say the answer is no.
Okay, that's it. Dun, dun, dun. It is done, sealed, delivered. That's it. We've confirmed it. Okay. A lot to talk about in today's show. Obviously, the MLS season ended last season on quite the high with New York City Football Club winning.
It feels like it never ended. It feels like it just continued. It was party after party for us. Yes.
And then,
I don't know what fans of other teams were doing, but we were having a good time.
Okay. And then, you know, we were at the New York Stock Exchange or linking up with players, the whole thing. Look, our lives have been quite amazing the last like 22 days. All right.
It's been insane.
But obviously, MLS offseason, there's always a lot of drama. Players coming, players going. But
almost
we have
the media, too, because that we've experienced this. Yeah. We're like heading to, like, you know, City Hall to hang out with the players. And some of them have just found out they're not going to be back on this team.
It's a terrible business. Really?
By the way, MLS makes these rules. You can decide to release this information whenever you want. This is really rude.
Let them celebrate winning MLS Cup. Whatever team wins, let them celebrate. Don't literally, as they're lifting up MLS Cup, say, like, okay, you're gone. All right?
You're slipping a pink slip into their pocket. There really is. There's no reason to do it the way they're doing it. There is
right.
MLS makes its own rules. We have our own calendar.
Yeah.
Chill. Can you not pause a week before you have to release, you know, roster updates?
It's pretty incredible. But some of the big news as far as the biggest transfer, I mean, there's no bigger one than Ricardo Pepe, right? Pepe signed for the Bundesliga club Augsburg. It's kind of exciting seeing an American player go over to Germany and then also be like immediate, like the social media campaign was on point. They were like, yes, we're investing money into bringing this player and what he's going to do on the pitch, but let's go for that American media market.
Yeah, they're like, how do we turn Augsburg into the 51st state? That is what they've tried. They have gone full board American. Yeah. People wearing cowboy hats. There's American like, flags everywhere. Like,
oh, everybody knows it's Augsburg, the city that never sleeps. We all know this. Okay.
Yeah. Come take a bite out of the big Augsburg. Yeah. Yeah.
The media team, you love it. The digital team is on point. They're doing kit giveaways, but he goes to Augsburg for
also,
20.
Did you know this is Augsburg's biggest signing ever?
Yeah, yeah.
I looked this up. The closest one to them was when they spent $11.5 million in 2016 for a player named Martin Hinteregger from RB Salzburg. Didn't work out because I don't know who he is.
He's a center back. Yeah, he's pretty good. I think he's at Eintracht Frankfurt now.
But which we're going. Nonetheless, this is the biggest. They've never spent anywhere near this, so they've really got to believe in this guy. Either that. Or they really love America. You know what I mean? They're trying to be good friends with America.
This is the interesting thing going on because the Augsburg, I believe, has an American owner or an investor that is like leading the charge in this. And like, and you know, this is part of the game. This is part of the hustle. This is why, you know, Christian Pulisic left Dortmund to go to Chelsea and for that high of a fee, because now the American player, the value of the American player seems to be a little bit higher than usual. And even if you're pretty good, like Ricardo Pepe, it's a fair number. My only concern is that he went to Augsburg, right? According to Tom Bogert, friend of the show, a reporter for MLSsoccer.com, he had mentioned that there were four teams that were bidding for Ricardo Pepe, and one of them being like Wolves,
West Ham.
I think it was West Ham. There was a Wolfsburg also was in contention. Augsburg is definitely a startup, so to speak, right?
It is.
They're the up and coming. They're really trying to make a splash. Okay,
let's be honest, Augsburg. They're getting their shit together. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? They're not best.
Put it on the billboard.
Hey, Augsburg. We're trying. That's their new slogan. Yeah. But let's be honest. I looked at their stats. Their leader for assists has two. It's not great. You know what
not
I mean?
Great.
If you're a scorer, that's what you need. You want to see a lot of that coming your way. But Ricardo Pepe seems to be the beginning of the turnaround for this team.
So they're fighting, obviously, to not get relegated. And personally, as you're seeing Pepe and seeing, you know, obviously him going and getting the move to play in Germany, a huge accomplishment. This is the last like 4 years for this kid have been unbelievable, well deserved, especially the transfer fee. Could he have gone to a better team or teaming just in like Augsburg? He's gonna get playing time. They're gonna need him day one. He's getting minutes. I understand that's important, but for him to be in an environment that he's being developed. Do we really know if Augsburg is the location where he will develop into the best possible player?
Okay, can I ask you a question? Has he played well so far enough to get sold for $20 million? The answer is yes. He's been doing that in FC Dallas. You feel me? You know what I mean? It's not like Augsburg is a lower level than FC Dallas. You feel me? I think he's going to be fine. Are they 1 point outside of the relegation zone? Yes. But here's that immediate pressure. Everybody who wants, you know, American players to go to Europe talks about, like, you got to put them under pressure. And if they lose, it's not like they get a high draft pick. They go down to a lower level. Nobody wants to go to two Bundesliga. This is it. You've now put one of your potential best strikers in that position. And then one of your other potential best strikers in Daryl Dike, he goes to the championship. He goes to the second division, but they look like they're about to get promoted.
Yeah. Well,
kind of a similar position he was in the last time he was out there. But this is different. Now they actually bought him. This ain't no loan. They actually purchased my guy for what, $9.5 million?
I don't know the exact number, but it's $9.5 million. Yes. So I would if I was between the two players, I would rather be Daryl Dike than Pepe right now.
How?
You're still under the same pressure. You're fighting for promotion. Pepe's fighting to not get relegated. They're both gonna get a fair amount of playing time.
First, Daryl Dike's fighting to get to the top league,
which is
Ricardo Pepe. comes right into the top league and just simply has to fight to stay up. This is like, you know, when a teacher says, like, you have an A from the beginning of the year. That's what Ricardo Pepe's getting. You know what I mean?
If it were me, I would rather be in the position to try to get promoted rather than fight to get relegated. They're both high-pressure situations.
That makes no sense.
It doesn't not make sense. They're both high-pressure situations.
Whatsoever. If they both stay in the position they're in, they messed up. You know what I mean? I mean, you messed up being in the second division.
Right.
Ricardo Pepe is better off. You always want to start ahead. Why would you want to start a race in second place?
Ahead. He's literally fighting to not get relegated.
He's in the top. The other one already got relegated. He walked into a relegated team.
But he's fighting to be promoted into the first division.
What are you talking about? Where Pepe already is. Pepe is, already is in the top
yes,
flight.
Yes, that I understand. I'm just saying that as far as development and the pressure of that situation, DK is going to get they're probably going to get probably the same amount of playing time, but the better team. He's on a better team. West Brom is a better team than Augsburg. That's obviously the main point I'm making.
The only I think here's why I think well, you're wrong. Is because Augsburg is already in the top flight. West Brom was so bad that wasn't their last manager Sam Allardyce, the guy who only keeps teams up, and even they got relegated?
Okay. All right. We're talking about development, right? And we're focusing on what's going to be better for the U.S. men's national team. And
I think the pressure of trying to keep a team up and, you know, like you saw it when, what was it, the Sunderland, what was it, all or nothing? Remember, like, yeah. The cameras, everywhere they went, those
Sunderland,
players were like...
Till I die or whatever.
Yeah, Sunderland till I die. Everywhere those cameras went, they were like, hey, man, come on, we need it, blah, blah, blah. It's a constant pressure, whereas Daryl DK's walking around, everyone's like, hey, you're going to get us in the top flight. Here's a free sandwich. It's a different pressure. Ricardo Pepe's going right in the pressure cooker. Daryl DK's getting high-fived everywhere he goes. He's a guy's a legend if he makes them up, if he brings them up there.
Okay.
I'd much rather put... First of all, I'd rather get $20 million, and I'd rather put my player in the position of where Ricardo Pepe's in.
Even Wolves, I'm surprised he didn't go to Wolfsburg, which is just objectively a better team.
And that would have been better.
That's
all, I agree.
It would have been a less money for FC Dallas. But look, obviously,
according
we're all
to you, you'd rather he goes to a team in two Bundesliga that might get into Bundesliga versus a team that's already in Bundesliga.
I'm talking about these two specific situations. Obviously, the championship and the lower teams in Bundesliga are probably the top level teams in championship and the lower level teams in Bundesliga are probably an equal sort of level.
Why not take, if they're equal, then why not take the one that's already in the top flight?
Sure. I mean, look, again, I think West Brom in the championship is probably a better team than Augsburg in Bundesliga. That's all I'm saying.
I'd rather get that Bundesliga check.
But we'll see. Yeah, of course. Yeah, money is money. So you understand why FC Dallas accepted it. I wish him nothing but the best. I'm obviously big, big fan. Okay. The last thing is Insigne. That was the last sort of rumor. Fabrizio Romano mentioned that as well. Insigne might be coming to Toronto.
I think it's pretty much official. I think it's already...
When Fabrizio weighs in, it feels like it's pretty much locked in. So.
But you got to give Toronto credit, right? It seems like the rest of the league is going away from the big-name signings. Toronto's like, no, we're still doing this. And actually, I think this is like a really good sign. They're talking about possibly getting Belotti from Torino. This could be huge, not just for MLS, but this could be huge for... in MLS club's chances in the CONCACAF Champions League.
Mm-hmm.
That would be huge.
Yeah,
or Nations League, which I know there's like 38 competitions now.
Toronto, it feels like they know their brand, and they're like, okay, let's bring
Italian dudes?
Paisans, because we know what we're doing here. But it's obviously a huge, huge move, and we'll wait to see till it's confirmed officially from the team. But it feels like this is a great, this is like a marquee signing, not just for Toronto, but MLS,
to sign the captain of one of the best clubs.
That'll do it.
Who's only 30 years old? Yeah. Seems like a really big win.
They're doing just fine.
Yeah.
All right. We got to talk about some more MLS news. And also, do not forget, Abby Dahlkemper will be joining us in just a little bit. San Diego Wave FC, first ever player. So we'll be talking in just a moment. But let's talk MLS, we have, speaking of Southern California, LAFC has a new head coach. Okay, you love to see it. Wasn't even planned.
Wow. That segue. I mean, light FM level. Hey, speaking of Southern California.
So LAFC has a new head coach, Steve Cherundolo, the homie, a dear friend who we got to hang out with in Germany. And we, when we spoke
Don't
to him.
Don't be saying dear friend. Have you seen the reaction of the fans? Hey, chill. I want to be able to go to LA.
They need to know he's with us. Okay.
Let me see some results before we start claiming that we're friends, just because I want to go to LA without getting yelled at everywhere I go by people wearing black and gold. You feel me? Because the fans are not happy. They're okay. not happy.
Steve Cherundolo, obviously, when we spoke to him in 2019, right? This was 2018, right? 2019. Well,
might have been.
It was 1919, right?
Was it? Okay.
Yes, it was. Because, look, the pandemic has really just blurred all the what time really is.
It could have been 2013. It could have been last week. We don't know.
We don't know.
How many variants ago did we speak to Steve Cherundolo?
Steve Cherundolo, we got to hang out with him in Germany. And while Bundesliga flew us out there to go see some matches. And Cherundolo was one of our guides, I guess, you know, really hanging out with us at all the games.
When it comes to us too, it felt like chaperone, but for everyone else, it felt like guide.
Literally, it's like, Steve, why do we have to have a leash? We don't need it. No.
Steve, stop knocking on the door to the bathroom, dude. I'm still in here. I'm not going anywhere.
So, and we got to speak to him about, you know, at the time he was still finishing up his coaching licenses and all that stuff. And
he's a legend in Hanover. Remember, we asked him, like, oh, you're going to become probably instantly a coach here. He was captain. Mm-hmm. He's beloved in Germany. Right. And he was like, I think I'm going to go back home. And we're like, you're never going to get a coaching job in the U.S., dude.
And then, boom, he's hired by Las Vegas Lights. He's the head coach for the USL team, the affiliate for LAFC. And now he gets this move after Bob Bradley leaves, which is, I think, for some people, a bit of a shock. Obviously, the experience that Bob Bradley brought, and then also, you know, started the team and put his stamp on it.
It felt like LAFC was built in his image, you
right?
Know?
And then and now, with his departure and him going to Toronto, LAFC is. You know, they won a supporter shield. They obviously got very far in CCL. The ambition is there, and now people feel like this is a bit of a, you know, look. I mean, we love Steve, but as far as experience at the head coaching position, he doesn't have too much of it. So this is definitely a big.
He does. He coached at Las Vegas Lights, and his record. Not the most complimentary, you know, that's not the one you put on in lights. No, you know, no pun intended. Right. He was 6 wins, 23 losses and 3 draws. So
not ideal, but no. With any,
there could be a lot of reasons for that.
Exactly. It's not necessarily just, his fault, but this is definitely a different direction for
part
LAFC.
Of the reason why I think you're saying that, part of the reason why fans are so reacting so negatively is because the amount of players that have been leaving that you would think of as, you know, when I think LAFC fans like to think of LAFC as one of the super clubs of MLS.
Yes.
And it's hard to do that if you don't have big name players, big name in the sense of they show up and they play and they're hard to play against. Diego Rossi being one of those, Atuesta being one of those. Both of them are gone. You know, Vela's contract might be up. Not might be up. It's going to be up in June. Are they re-signing him? Are they going to go out and find a bigger name player? You know, those types of things. All of a sudden, there's a lot of people leaving. No one's coming in. And then Bob Bradley, who's a big name coach, he leaves and you bring in a new guy, an upstart. One of your youth players, one of your big youth players. And what's it? Bryce Duke?
He left. Yeah, he's in Miami now.
So now even your young players that you have a lot of belief in, now they're gone. What's going to happen? And I think the biggest fear is, oh, no, are we going to start sliding into, you know, more of that sort of second team in the city status?
Yeah. And LAFC, obviously, they missed the playoffs and they were
terrible
just giving
season
up,
last year.
Giving up a lot of goals. I mean, that was their main issues were kind of defensively. And then. Also, Tristan Blackman leaving as well. I think he's going to Vancouver.
Tristan Blackman is gone.
So there's going to be a lot of changes, but some people, and I think this is the interesting part. We did talk about Trundolo and he is the mayor essentially of Hanover, right? The people absolutely love him in Germany. This is going to, there might be, the connections to Germany that he has, there might be a lot of Bundesliga players that might now be interested in playing for LAFC.
I'm glad you said that. I got an idea. Mm. They should sign Ricardo Pepi. Oh my God.
Yes. Okay. Yes. The German superstar.
Yo, what? And they can probably get Daryl DK on discount because he's in the second division.
Augsburg, yo, I know you. I mean, he's been there for 15 minutes, but
you
look,
got what you wanted. You got your promotion.
Okay. The marketing campaign was great, but let's have an opportunity. No, I think this is. We will only know in those first couple months, and then when he brings in some of his own players, we won't really know what the Trundolo experiment looks like until he really has about a year under his belt. I think as far as personality, the comparison, Bob Bradley and Trundolo are two completely different people. I mean,
there was a moment where I looked at Steve Trundolo in the face and I said, hey, it's a good defensive plan, which they need because they let a lot of goals in. What if your defender was fully erect for 90 minutes? And he was like, all right, well, how would that work? Now, that's not the reaction I expected out of someone.
Yes, yes, because Bob Bradley would have literally struck you, okay, if you just posed that question.
I would have been laid out with my arms crossed, ready for a casket had I suggested that to Bob Bradley. Whereas Steve Trundolo was like, look, we're brainstorming. There's no bad ideas. We're just, you know what I mean?
Okay, I'm just going to answer it because I'm going to prepare. Like, I'm about to get my coaching badges. I don't know what's going to be on the test, all right?
Right? They can throw any scenario at you on this test.
Really? Is this an essay? Multiple choice? I mean,
it sounds like a word problem to me.
Unbelievable. But look, two different types of people. So the identity of LAFC is going to be very, very different. And you just the ambiance. But it is... we're rooting for Steve without a doubt. I hope
sure, he's the homie.
Does well. Absolutely
great dude. Asterisk on that homie just in case. I want tortas.
All right, we got Abby Dahl Kemper coming up next, everybody.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to this podcast episode. We just want to break in with a word from one of our sponsors. Actually, it's us, and it's our Twitch channel.
That's right. You've seen us on Fubo TV. You've listened to us on the podcast. Maybe you've clicked like on one of our personal seductive photos on Instagram. Okay?
You know how we love those thotty pics.
Okay. We know the game, all right? We're not going
to... Anything for likes and views, baby.
Yo, that's what you got to do nowadays. But we're also on Twitch. We live stream... every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern time for Prem Show. But we do other stuff as well. We do watch-alongs. We interview people. We play FIFA. And we're going to be doing a lot more stuff on there. So join us on Twitch. Hit the follow button. It is free.
That's right. So just go to twitch.tv/soccercooligans or make it easy for yourself and just go to eltwitche.com. That's eltwitche.com. And that'll bring you right to our account. And hit that follow button right now.
Yo, Christian, our guest is finally here. And what an honor. We've got look at this, three champions.
Okay.
I won a spelling bee in fifth grade.
if we combine our trophy cabinets, it's really just going to be quite impressive, okay?
I mean, but this is an absolute honor. First of all, we ask if you're going to be on the show, please be one of the best at what you do. Mm. And this next person has ticked those boxes. Let me see here. Just NWSL, college draft. Let's see. Defender of the year, best 11, World Cup winner. Mm. I mean, at this point, what else is there? Okay. What else do you have to win?
There's nothing left to accomplish. You just retire now, I guess, according to Alexis.
I'm literally done. Yeah.
Enjoy your life. Well, the voice you hear is the one, the only. Put your hands together. Put your car in park right now. Throw up that e-brake so you can put both hands together for the one, the only, Abby Dahl Kemper, everybody.
Abby, what's up?
Hi guys, thanks for having me.
Absolutely,
no, this is an honor.
Yeah, it is. You know, I mean, look, we're excited to have you on the show. We've had, it's an honor for us. We've had too many World Cup winners on this show, where it's like it feels like we don't deserve this level of honor. A couple of your teammates have been on the show before, but I want to talk. We'll talk about your international accolades, but we have to start with the fact that you are the first player for the San Diego Wave, the new NWSL team that is starting in just a couple months. We don't have the schedule yet. We don't know the exact kickoff date. If we don't know, I imagine the players don't know either. Nobody knows what's going on sometimes when it comes
to
schedule.
No, absolutely not.
They're like,
we'll
just
probably
be
know
ready
a week before. Yeah, yeah. Literally.
I'm just like, stay prepared.
No one knows.
But
stay ready so you don't have to get ready, right?
But it has to be quite an honor, right? To be, for them to want you and then to be the first player for a franchise. What did that even feel like as soon as you saw, all the images and videos of the announcement of you arriving in San Diego?
Totally. Yeah. Like you said, I think it's a huge honor. I'm extremely humbled and really excited to just get started with everything going on. It was just a little bit funny the way I guess it had happened, just because I was the first player and it's like it's a new franchise. So I don't have any teammates. So I'm like, I can't wait to
see.
Who do
I text?
I'm like, I want to do a WhatsApp group, but I'm like, no one's going to be in the group.
It's just you.
I know. I'm just like, oh my gosh. I'm texting myself, literally. No, but in all seriousness, yeah, it's a huge honor. California, specifically Southern California, I think is just a hotbed for soccer. It's kind of a way of life here. And I just feel so much buzz and excitement for the team and, the standard that the Wave are producing on and off the field is incredible, up to the training facilities, to my teammates, to, the stadium we'll be playing at. So it's all really exciting.
Now, I'm an East Coast guy. I'm born and raised in Newark, New Jersey. I've been living in New York for forever at this point. I've always noticed a stark difference between Southern California and Northern California. The energy feels a little bit more familiar for me in Northern California. When I go to Southern California, in particular San Diego, I'm like, why did everyone just take a nap? Why is everyone so relaxed? How do you
literally
deal with it?
And everyone's so nice. Everyone is so nice here. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it feels so nice to have people be nice to you.
I hate it. I hate it personally.
I know, I'm actually still kind of getting used to it, but everyone's chilled, relaxed, wants to help you, says hello, holds the door open. So I love it here. My husband and I just got a house and we're settled in. So I've actually never been living permanently in a market that I've played in. So it's nice to have a home.
Okay. That's perfect.
Yeah, you always feel like you got to live out of a suitcase.
Everyone's
right?
It sounds like a personal problem, but they're like, okay. No, I'm not living out of suitcases anymore.
It's amazing.
Put the suitcases right up in the attic and it's done.
You're like, I don't want to see it for weeks.
I'm like, no.
Okay. Yeah. You're like, you know what? We're going to paint. I feel good about this one, all right?
Literally.
So, obviously you were the first player and obviously San Diego drafted some players and there's a lot of moves, but obviously the next huge move was bringing over Alex Morgan.
You might have heard of her.
Did you see her sipping tea at the World Cup? I think you had a good seat. You had a good seat to watch that. But
I was like,
you're right there, drink more.
But now what we see, the direction that San Diego is going in, how do you feel about just the actual play that's going to be on the pitch week in and week out? How do you feel about what they're building?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like I said before, I think just the Wave, we're setting the standards high. I think, and that's been clear from the get-go, I think. As far as obviously the outside stuff, but like you were saying, roster wise, you have Keelan Sheridan, Tegan McGrady and Kristen Westfall. And so, number one pick college draft, Naomi Girma. So I think that the importance of the spine and the structure, I think, Casey Stoney is
I've heard nothing but good things. I obviously haven't gotten coached by her yet, but just foundations are being put into place that, you know, are really solid. Being able to play out of the back, being really solid defensively, you know, the NWSL is a super transitional game. There's a ton of attacking threats all over. So I think just being sound defensively is going to be really important. And, obviously, like you said, Alex is helpful up top as well. So
yeah, so attacking done.
Yeah,
what I did love about you being the first player announced is that a center back got this like this shine and this attention, which is usually not the case, right? Because
it's usually only get that for red cards.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like sometimes as a center back, it's like, you can only mess up, but, yeah. No, in all seriousness. Yeah, it is. Like I said, it's just such an honor. And I think, you know, I have just, a lot to be thankful for and, really proud to represent the city. And, I think, you know, just the energy, the buzz around this team and this franchise is going to be amazing.
It's great. I mean, you're obviously a world-class defender, and I like that you mentioned like having that steady like spine in place, because mm-hmm. When I think of Abby Dahlkemper, I think of, oh, this game almost and I mean this as 100% a compliment. You make games boring for the other team. You know what I mean? You literally like as soon as you and especially national team, you and Becky, nothing's getting past both of you. Just incomplete control. That I mean, the level of confidence that San Diego is going to have in this season, I think is going to be great because of a player like you.
Thank you so much. I need to like keep you guys in my ear during the games or something. Like, can you guys tune in and I keep these on?
Put us like, on in the put us on in the Bluetooth in the locker room before the game. We got y'all.
Literally. I'm like, you guys don't know them, but listen. Yeah.
You know what? Maybe someone does. Maybe one or two of them does.
Oh, you know what? And
somebody might.
Kaylin Sheridan does know us. Kaylin is a friend. And I want to mention this because she did our podcast before we were on TV. She did our podcast. And I just want you to relay this if you do not know this. But Kaylin has a phobia of buttons. I don't know if you know this.
This is dead ass.
This is a completely
she won't wear
true
anything
thing.
But with buttons.
She has a fear.
So I should immediately buy her a button down and say,
boom, that is what we need.
Welcome to the team.
Maybe one of those jeans that had nothing but buttons instead of the zippers.
Oh my God, that is like so hilarious. I'm like, what?
She just don't like it.
So,
she's
not
a fan of buttons.
It's the locker room chemistry.
Yeah. So now you got some banter, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
Gold medal like winner. Hates. Imagine the gold medal was a button. I mean, she'd be like, I don't want it.
It's just like there's a case with like buttons. You have to unbutton it to get your medal. And she's just like.
And she was like, let's just, she shakes it just to make sure it's in there. And that's it. That's the closest she's going to get to it. Actually, I want to ask you about this because you're a center back, but you do stand out in the sense that you have. Like center backs to me don't have like big personalities. They're more like, I'm a center back. You know what I mean? Just like very authoritative, but you have a little bit more of a laid back, a little bit more of a fun attitude. I mean, 2019 was a big year for you. Not only did you win the World Cup, you were also in the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition. You know, was there a level of stress to that that's different than being in a World Cup final? I mean, I think comedians are very similar to you guys. Comedians are similar to soccer players, and like you do something, you hear a reaction right away. Was this good or bad? If I tell a joke on stage, I know right away whether it works or not. You put out pictures of yourself like that. You got to wait a couple weeks to find out.
Well, you know what's so scary is like there's no like proofing. Like I can't see the pictures and say yes or no. They're just gonna like put out what they put out. So like literally,
are you
just
serious?
For 6 hours, I was just like trying not to like, you know what I mean? Like being cute. Yeah. But I also was like, but I've never like been in Sports Illustrated and I didn't know how they'd turn out. But like, thank the Lord that like they were decent and fine. I was like, bless the photographer because he was great. But no, it was like such a great experience. You know, Alex, Alex Morgan, you know her.
Our besties. Yeah.
Crystal, yeah. We go way back. Crystal and Pino were also in Sports Illustrated for that World Cup year, and it was just like great and something that was so cool that I was able to do. So
that's crazy that they didn't let you see the photos before. I mean, they must have taken thousands of photos during that time.
Yeah, I know. And I'm still just like, oh my God, they're somewhere. Like, I don't know. So
there's like a picture of you like burping. You
know? Like, literally, scratching your nose. Probably. I'm just like, oh God, they're somewhere just floating around in the internet. But anyways, no. So it was really good. And I think just like to kind of piggyback off that, I think just soccer, obviously, is incredible on the pitch, but it brings me so many, different opportunities and whatnot. So I'm just thankful.
Okay.
That's awesome.
And another thing, you spent some time playing in Australia, right? You were on loan with Adelaide, right? For a little bit.
I did.
Obviously the World Cup is going to be in Australia in a couple of years. When it comes to the preparation to get there again, obviously there isn't any, expectation, everybody has to earn their spot. But as far as,
but Joe, you Abby Dalcamp, come on now.
I'm trying to toss.
No, I felt that right here, Christian. Yeah. I was like, yeah, I know.
You call coach like, coach, who else we picking?
Yeah. Who else? Yeah.
I feel like playing with.
I have the defenders locked down, but like, where are we thinking attacking? Yeah.
You're like, who's cool if I could play with? I was thinking.
Oh my gosh. That like makes me just want to like throw up. That makes me so nervous. Anyways.
It's fascinating because, we've spoken to so many players on the national team, formerly on the national team, everything. There is obviously there's just a limited amount of spots. Everybody wants to go, and it there's almost like this balance of how do you maintain your competitive edge of like, I respect you as a person, but I desperately want that spot, and also maintain friendships. It must be almost impossible.
Totally. This is just like we say, like at camp, it's just like a bloodbath. Like you're just like best friends, then you like step inside the lines and it's just like claws are out. Like it is a bloodbath, but I think that's what makes the US the US. It's just your spot is like never guaranteed, and you have to like show up and show out every camp, like day in and day out. And I think that's so cool, because obviously like you're going to get better, but then the team's going to get better, and like you see like world-class teams just coming up and getting better and better, so we have to improve as well. So yeah, it's tough. It is such a intense environment that's so hard to explain to outsiders. And they're like, what do you mean you don't make the next roster? And I'm like, well, I don't know. Yeah. Like we have to like get invited and all this stuff. So it is like super stressful, but obviously like really rewarding as well.
Yeah.
So.
I find it fascinating because what we usually see, even when you watch training, is you don't really grasp like exactly how competitive it is, because I think what we see more is like partying in the locker room and we all love each other and this is all great, but it's like, what it took to party that hard, you had to go through something.
They edit out the parts where you guys trip each other.
Yeah. I'm like, you edited out our like black eyes from us like bashing each other in the like scratches on my neck from someone's nails. I'm just like, but it's fine. Just like stay on your feet and.
Right.
Sometimes you don't have to stay on your feet, just survive. So,
okay. When you look at, speaking of internationally, you've played in a couple different countries now, in particular, obviously Australia, obviously the US, and you played for a little bit in England. A lot of conversation that was being had about the women's game outside of the US. And we were at the ICC Futures, which is a youth tournament, and the Barcelona girls team was absolutely incredible. It seems like some of these other countries are now really sort of taking a few notes from what the women's national team here has been able to do for the past few years, and it's starting to build up. What do you think about that? Do you think that helps the game? Do you think that might hurt the game here, having a women's team that has to compete, at an even higher level to make sure that they continue to win and be as great as they are?
Yeah, no, I think that just like helps the women's game like immensely, so much. I think, obviously the standard has to keep improving, or else you're going to see these teams like Barcelona on the women's side is like one of the best teams I've ever played against. Like they beat us 3-0 and just like played us off the pitch. Like I thought there was 13 players on the field. I was like, they have two extra players somewhere.
Well, were the other,
like,
were the other
this
refs
is an
playing?
Illusion. I literally, like, they were so good. They're still so good.
No, they're
so
incredible.
You're sweating. You're like, I think I saw the fourth official make a through pass. I swear to
literally,
God.
Literally, I'm like, we need to take a timeout. I know there's no timeouts in soccer, but we need to count.
The VAR is wearing a Barca kit. What? I'm telling you, this is messed up.
Literally. So, yeah, I mean, it's incredible. I think the women's game is growing. I think, you know, you're turning on the TVs and seeing more games than ever. And that's exciting. I think that's what you want to see. And I think, you know, we've got to get better. We've got to push the standard. And, you know, other countries are so good. And they've always been good and they're getting better. So, and I think that's club and countries. So it's exciting. You know, I think the Euros for the European national teams are this year. And, you know, obviously, like you guys said, the World Cup's coming up. I mean, we've got to qualify first, which is going to be tough. So, yeah, it's going to be a huge year.
Okay. Yeah. And the last thing I wanted to ask is I saw this video about you talking about your mom and your mom's connection with basketball and how she sort of mentioned, you kind of touched on this, but how she mentioned that she tried to play as long as she could, but she didn't feel like there was really much opportunity. But now getting to see her daughter reach, I mean, the pinnacle of just, you know, of women's sport, really. How does that feel for the family? I mean, I'm sure she's proud as a mom, but then just as a woman getting to see her daughter kind of break through kind of these barriers.
Yeah, no, I think it's incredible. And, you know, I owe so much to my family and specifically to my mom. I think we've just always had this special bond. I've never really had a sister. Well, I don't have a sister. And I have an older brother and a younger brother. But yeah, I mean, I think you said just like there's so much more opportunity now for women in sport and women in general. And I think that's amazing to just kind of see and hear my mom talk about me in that way, because I just don't ever get to hear her talk about me in that way. And so, yeah, I think it's amazing. And just, you know, kind of just like a full circle back to the wave. It's like now there's going to be 12 NWSL teams and like it started at 8 or 7. I don't know, but like, it's just incredible and it's expanding and there's momentum behind the women's game and women in general. And I think that that's really cool and just so powerful. So, yeah, I'm really, really thankful and lucky to have her as a mom. And I think whenever I needed confidence or I needed, you know, a push, she helped me. And I wouldn't be where I am without her. And, yeah.
All right. Yeah. I mean, not only, you know, you mentioned NWSL and having all these new teams, but getting two teams in California pretty close to each other.
The same damn time.
So you already have to have a hardcore rivalry with this team. So
I know.
Angel City is going to be, these matches are going to be interesting.
Literally.
There's another set of fans that hate you already.
I'm like, we might have to fly up there too. But yeah, no, I mean, exactly like you guys said, I mean, what Angel City is doing is great too. And, I, you know, they're building something so special too. So I think just, yeah, opportunity for women right now is more than ever in this country. And that's really exciting. So, yeah.
All right.
I'm sure you can't wait to beat them. You heard it here first, folks.
I know. 1,000%. Yeah.
All right.
Are you guys going to be there?
Of course.
Let's
line up from Jersey.
Okay. Yeah. Let's get to our questions from some fans. We have our Gully Squad, which are our supporters group, and they have questions from fans, a lot of fans of you. So let's start there. So we have this first one, hard-hitting question. This is from Justin Friedberg. He asked the question. He says, who has the most adorable doggo or kitty on the national team?
You're going to get in trouble.
Well,
you're going to get in trouble.
I might be biased, but I have two dogs who I think are so stinking cute. They're probably sitting outside the door waiting for me to be done with this call.
Okay.
And they're two cockapoos. Their names are Betty and Bobby. They're both girls. And they're the best. But, you know, I think everyone's kind of biased. Like,
right.
Emily Sonnet has a dog named Bagel.
Right.
Sam has a dog named Finn.
Sam was on the show. Sam.
Well,
Sam and Finn were on the show.
Yeah. Oh my god, that's so cute. I wish I could bring them in, but they would probably, I don't know, ruin something. Yeah, go nuts.
I'll try to eat your side table.
literally, my side table. That is pretty.
This is a question. You are from Northern California. You might actually know because you seem like an athletic person. But do you plan on learning how to surf actual waves? Are you? Are you?
Oh, this is
a
surfer? This is from Thorin. Thorin Svensson. Thorin Svensson.
Okay, Thorin. Well, we do have surfboards. I have tried to surf a couple times, and it is way harder than it looks. And the waves look huge when you're in the water. You're just like, oh my gosh. Yeah. So I guess I surf, but not well at all. Like, I spend most time like ducking under waves because I'm like, oh my gosh, what is happening?
Okay.
First time I saw surfing was at Crystal Pier, which is in San Diego. I'm standing out there and I'm like, they're not even surfing. They're just sitting on the surfboard. I'm such a New York dude. I'm like, they're just sitting on the surfboard. Someone's like, no, that's surfing. I'm like, they're not doing it. I've been here for an hour. No one's doing anything. And they're like, that's surfing. I'm like, this is not what it looks like in the movies. I haven't seen one shark.
Yeah.
No one's playing that. So,
you're like, I need to see fins or else it's not surfing. Yeah. No
one's scoring it.
I try not to think about that. But yeah, no, I do, but I'm not good at it. Like, there's like 12-year-olds that are just paddling past me, just shredding. And I'm just like ducking under another wave, being like, I don't think this is the one. Like, just keep ducking.
You're just doing the.
And I'm like, I'm tired. I gotta go in.
It looks exhausting.
I've like literally just been swimming. So yeah, I guess I do four, but not well.
Counts 100%. You have more experience than I do. I've never surfed. Okay. Abby Dahlkemper, thank you so much.
Wait. I actually got one last question. I need you to. This is an argument between my wife and I. And I heard you're a big smoothie fan, so you're gonna solve this for me right now.
Oh yeah.
If there's no vegetables and it's, let's just say, strawberry and maybe chocolate, is that still a smoothie? I say yes.
Okay. Yeah. Wait, no vegetables, but no vegetables. Be fruit?
Yeah, it's just chocolate, strawberries, maybe a little bit of milk. There's a fruit in there.
Yeah, that's a smoothie.
And chocolate comes from the fruit.
Honestly, and throw protein powder in there and just call it a smoothie.
Oh, look at that. A malted
Yeah. And like literally a chocolate shake. That's so crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that worked out
Alexis
for me.
Alexis is like holding a root beer. And he's like, look at this healthy drink. I love it.
Like, I got an ice cream float.
I'm like, have you guys heard of this?
But actually, my trick is like just shove spinach in there and you won't taste it. And it'll look green, but like taste like a chocolate shake.
Okay. Genius. Yeah.
Swear down. Just
now I need to Google spinach to see what it looks like.
Just wrap.
Yeah, you're like never heard of it.
Yeah. I'm putting Andy's mints in there. It's green.
Okay. Abby Dahlkemper, thank you so much for joining us on the show. It's an absolute honor. So a couple of pieces of business before we let you go. We have to get to our Galasso gift. This is your opportunity to celebrate a goal. Alexis will give you a scenario and we will turn it into a gift that will live on the internet forever. So Alexis will give you a scenario and feel free to celebrate however you like. Alexis, what do you suggest today?
So I don't know why, Abby, but for some reason, San Diego Wave Football Club, we didn't even talk about the fact that it's got football in there.
Yeah, gets in one way.
Yeah, in one way. Gets all the way to the NWSL Championship. And you guys are face-to-face with, let's say, Angel City. Let's just throw some flame towards them.
Two Western Conference teams in the final, sure.
Yeah, there's no way it could work, but just listen to me. For some reason, let's say it's penalties. You're about to take the last one. It's for the win. And your coach says to you, hey, if you score this penalty, your two dogs, Bobby and Billy?
Betty.
Bobby and Betty will also win the Westminster Dog Show if you score this penalty. That was a big one. And you do it, Abby. How do you celebrate? By the way, she screamed so loud, she was silent.
I know. I wasn't sure if, I don't know, audio worked too, but I would be like, whoa! And probably, like, I don't know, freeze or black out or both, and just, like, I don't even know what I would do, but probably just throw my hands up and, like, go, woo! Because, wouldn't know. But
yeah, how great
I can
that?
Imagine. I can imagine. I don't know if I would do anything nuts, but I guess there's like nothing to risk. Like, sure. Who knows?
Not
even me.
As a center back, you're not. It's not like you're usually in that situation, right? So
yeah.
No, I'm not. I am going to be one day. I'm just manifesting this.
You will remember this moment.
Like, yeah, and then I'm gonna be like, oh my god, Betty, you're gonna win
the Wisconsin Dog Show.
Amazing.
Both freeze at the same time.
Yeah, no.
That's never a thing, but it's going to be a thing.
Amazing. Abby, again, thank you so much for joining us. Abby, is there anything you want to let people know about before we let you go? Anything you want to plug?
No. I mean, like, thank you so much for having me. I'm really honored to be on the show. You guys are so great, and it's been, like, so enjoyable, and I feel like we could do this for hours and just hang out and chill.
Sure.
Thank you. That means a lot.
That's just all FaceTime at some point.
You know what? You got no teammates. Throw us in the group chat.
Literally. A WhatsApp. Okay. Wait,
Everybody make sure to follow Abby on Instagram, Abby Dog Kemper. She's a great follow. And go, if you're in San Diego, go and support San Diego Wave. Guest season tickets. Go to games. Support the NWSL. Every year it's getting better and better. So it's awesome to see. And make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans on all social channels. Make sure you subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel and follow at Fubo Sports on all socials as well. Okay, Abby, let us end the show the way we normally do, as is tradition. So please join us in this. So for Abby Dahl Kemper, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!
Yay!